everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. And I am here with the sweet Adrian Gutierrez. It's nice to have you back.
Yeah, so fun. I love being here.
How many times does this make?
You know, I thought about it the other day. I think this might be four or five. I think it might be five.
See?
I think, it's been a few times. You've been doing this for a while.
Well, for a while. We started it. Yeah, it's been over a year now, which is crazy.
Well, but even before that, you were doing like the...
The Facebook Live 1208s. Yeah, that was
COVID. During COVID. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've been doing... I'm including that when I say five.
Because you did. That's like
did
the
that
old
a few
school
times.
Version.
Yes.
And you did come on
Can
that.
You even watch those anywhere anymore?
Yeah, they're still on Facebook. Still you can go back and find them. Yeah, every once in a while, they'll pop up in my memories. I'm like, oh, remember when we were all in our houses and the only way we could talk is you on a screen and me on a screen and us...
Or it was like in your office.
Yes.
And we just had your computer
just
sitting there.
Listen.
And sometimes we were like, just depending on Allison to tell us if it was working or not.
Yeah, if Allison knocked on the window, she's like, no one can hear you.
Yeah,
it was, we were super high tech back
then. We've come a long way.
We have.
Thanks to Jason.
Thanks to Jason Ryan for making us a little bit more high tech. We appreciate it. But yeah, so it's been so fun. I've loved doing this. It's super fun. And it's interesting because I think it is important. So many people have gotten to know people that they wouldn't have maybe gotten to know through these conversations, and just to be encouraged to hear, hey, you're not the only one, and
all
of that. And so I'm super glad you're back again.
Yes.
It's always so fun to have you here.
Thank you.
And I really asked Adrian specifically. So myself, Adrian, and Andrea Parker got to go to the Sagemont U Girls Retreat in Danbury in the fall, and the three of us were their speakers for the weekend, and their topic was unity, talking about unity. And on Friday night, I had the joy of talking about disunity.
Betsy drew the short straw.
For sure. I was like, well, I can talk about it. Here we go. Mm-hmm. But so Friday night, we kind of talked about disunity, but then on Saturday, you came in and Andrea came in and talked about unity with God is what you talked about. And Andrea talked about unity with people.
Right.
And as I was thinking about this, as we're heading into the Christmas season, holiday season, I think it's so important for us to stop and be purposeful in both of those areas. And thinking through our unity with the Lord all the time, especially during the holidays. And then after... Adrian's here. Andrea, y'all's names are going to, I'm going to say them wrong at some point.
Okay.
Andrea is going, even though I love you both, Andrea's going to come on and we're going to talk about unity with people and some how that's hard sometimes during the holidays, but why it's so important. And so I love that you were able to come and really talk about just unity with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe, let me ask you this. Why do we have to purpose for it?
Mm.
We all want it. If you ask, do you want unity with God as a believer? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to purpose to have it? Why does it feel like something that I have to do versus it just is? And what's the balance? What's the difference there?
Right. So that's such a good question. And thank you for having me, by the way.
I'm so glad you're here.
So fun to be
it's
here.
So fun.
Yes, I'm so excited. So yeah, we did that Saturday. I talked about unity with God. And so I guess I'll back up a little bit and just give a little context and then I'll answer your question.
Because
I think that's such a good question, why we should purpose for it. So what we talked about, I really went from John 17. So in John 17, it's Jesus praying to God the Father right before he goes to the cross. So he's praying to God the Father, and he's praying for you and me. He's praying for his, for those of us that are going to come after him, for his followers. It literally says for his followers and then those who they tell. So that's us. That's us too. That includes us. And so he's praying for us and he's praying for unity for us. He's praying for unity for us with each other.
Mm.
But it also says he's praying for that we would have him in us. So he says, you to the Father, you in me and I in them.
Mm.
And so he's praying for that kind of unity. So we talked a lot about how unity isn't just God with us, it's God in us. Mm. And I didn't really get into this a whole lot when I was there that weekend, but as I've thought about it more since then, it really has tied so nicely with what we've been talking about in precept. So I teach precept on Wednesday nights.
I was
going to
say,
doesn't know that.
plug, the January, end of January? January 2020, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The new season of Wednesday Night Midweeks will be kicking off and you will be teaching precept. Which one are y'all doing in the
Hebrews.
Spring? Hebrews.
It's going to be so good. Yeah, and Registration for that, I think, opens December 8th.
I think it, yeah.
So here December
pretty
8th.
Soon. So you can register.
Yeah.
And go.
Quick plug. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
It's so great.
Teaching.
So it's inductive Bible study.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just learning how to study God's word for yourself, which is, I mean, one of the most valuable
Absolutely.
Skills you can have, mm-hmm. period. So, yes. Yeah, so this semester that we've been doing Covenant, which is actually not a book of the Bible, because that's usually what we do, but this is a study of the covenants throughout God's word, because
cool.
covenant is a theme
yeah.
That God placed in scripture. And covenant is basically just God making a solemn binding agreement mm-hmm. with his people. So anyway, all that to say, we talked about how in John 17, God was praying you and me to God the Father and I in them. And so he was praying for unity and that he would be in us, that we would have God in us. And so in covenant, what we've looked at is how from the very beginning of time, so quick timeline, right? So very beginning, Adam and Eve, they walked and talked in the garden with God, yeah. right? Like they were present with him, physically present with him, all the things.
Yeah.
And then at the fall, there was separation and they couldn't do that anymore, right? And so from that point on, there was separation. But from that very point, God started his redemption plan, mm-hmm. right? And so then we see throughout scripture, especially by looking at the covenants, we see how he's actually slowly providing ways for us to be in his presence again. Mm-hmm. And so like with the tabernacle, so we see when the tabernacle, when he gives all the instructions for it, we see that the purpose of that is so that God could actually dwell in their midst, is mm-hmm. what the scripture tells us, which is amazing because up until then,
right. mm-hmm.
he hadn't been able to do that because of our sin. And so he's providing a way. And then he does it again with the temple, right? It's the same kind of thing, but it's a more permanent structure. So we go from a tabernacle, which is a tent
right.
that they're taking around in the wilderness
uh-huh.
that can be moved. Then there's a more permanent structure where God's presence is dwelling in the temple. And then in the New Testament, we have the new covenant. And that is when we see so many beautiful connections mm-hmm. that show us that, no, this is actually what all that was pointing to. And that is that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice
right.
and that we are the temple now and that Christ dwells in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Christ is dwelling in us, then that is unity, ultimate
That's
right. unity with God, right? Like we don't have to just worry about being with God. We have God in us as believers.
Mm-hmm.
If you've trusted in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. And so that gets me to your question of, okay, well, why do we have to try so hard for it?
Right.
Why does it seem like something we have to work for? Well, it's definitely not something we have to achieve, right? Because we never could. We never
no,
could achieve
right.
it on our own. It is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift that you receive at salvation. And so it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so we know that that is how we get that, right?
Right.
That unity. But then we do get into these, we get caught up, right? Like thinking that we do need to do certain things.
Right.
Like I do need to behave a certain way, or if I could just stop doing this one thing, or if
mm-hmm.
I could just do this thing better. Like we do, we get kind of stuck on that
we
loop
do.
And that's our flesh, right? Like
Absolutely.
our flesh still does that even when we have Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really learning how to be one with the Spirit, how to trust the Lord, how to rest in him
mm-hmm.
and find peace in him. And then from that posture, everything else just flows out.
Yeah.
And changing that attitude, changing that
mm-hmm.
perspective, that it's not an achievement mindset. It's not
right.
like, I have to do this. I have to check this box. I have to achieve, which is hard for me. I'm an achiever.
Yeah.
I like to achieve. I like to have the boxes
right.
to check. I like all those things. But that's not what God has
yeah.
for us. And in fact, he tells us, like, it doesn't matter how much you try to achieve. You can't get there
you
on your own.
It.
You
that's
have
right.
to trust me.
Yeah. It's so interesting because I think sometimes for believers, we understand that we need a savior.
Right.
Our sin is great.
Mm-hmm.
We can't overcome it. We need a savior. We accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're going to follow him. And that seems like we're like, okay, I get that part.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this weird thing that I think sometimes we have to fight against is, but then somehow I have the power to lose him.
Right.
I didn't have the power for him to save me. I
right.
also don't have the power to mess up enough or do something awful enough to lose him.
Yes.
And there's this weird give and take thing
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
we have to walk through.
Yeah. So in Galatians, so we just talked about this in precept last week. So in Galatians, Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and mm-hmm. he's telling them, so they've been sold this false gospel. Like basically there are these Judaizers coming in and telling them like, hey, yeah, you got saved, but now like you actually have to do all these yes. things. And if you don't do all these things, then you're not really a follower of Christ.
Do you know how many people walk away from the church?
Yeah.
Because that's what they hear.
Yeah.
Or that's just what they've believed
right.
for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And they walk away and go, I can't.
Right.
I'm done. And it's false.
Right.
It's just not true.
Right. Well, and you're right. You can't.
Right. Like,
that's the point.
Yes.
You can't on your right. own. And that's why you have to trust in the Lord. And that's why we have to, Romans 12:2, we have 1 and 2, we have to daily be surrendering yeah. ourselves, and we have to daily be renewing our minds in God's word. Mm-hmm. And so it's through that. And that's a relationship, right?
Right.
Like it's a relationship. It's not checking boxes. Mm-hmm. It's not this like rigid set of rules
right.
that we have to follow. Is there a law that's good? Yes, because it's indicative of God's nature. And mm-hmm. so if we have a relationship with him, right. then that means we're going to know how to follow it, because right. we're going to know him
mm-hmm.
and we're going to see what he tells us to do. And we're going to know, we're going to have conviction
yes.
of the Holy Spirit. And so we should listen to that conviction, right?
Right.
But that's so important. And the Galatians thing, like you just said, like in Galatians, when they were being sold this false gospel,
yeah.
Paul's telling them, he literally said what you just said, like, but don't you remember how you were saved in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Like, were you saved through works?
Right.
No. So why would you think that now this has any indication
mm-hmm.
for your salvation?
Yeah.
And it's, are there works? Is there fruit? Yes.
Absolutely.
But it's an outflow.
That's right.
It's not something that you do to achieve.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's that thing of God so wants a relationship with us. That's why mm-hmm. he sent his son, so he could have relationship with us. And so often we get this picture of God sitting up and going, are you gonna be able to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so not who he is. And
right.
it's that knowing his character and having the relationship. So you do know him.
Right.
I had somebody not too long ago, we were having a conversation, and they said, we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, do you realize that the fruit of the Spirit is a gift that as believers with the Holy Spirit we have?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to strive for joy
right.
and peace and all those things,
mm-hmm.
kindness. We don't have to pull our boots up and do the work and find
mm-hmm.
we have that. Like it's mm-hmm. a gift that's been given to us.
Right.
Now, we can use the gift and steward the gift well, so it does become our rhythm and our habits and how we're making choices. But it's not like this, oh, I gotta go find joy.
Right.
Oh.
And yeah, and we can call on the Holy Spirit
yes.
to provide us with that, because that's who's dwelling inside of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
With those gifts. And so when I pray and I say, God, I am just having a really hard time being patient with my kids today,
yes.
right? When I pray and I ask him, please help me, please give me patience with them, and he does, then who gets the glory for that?
Right.
I can't take credit for
right.
that.
Absolutely.
If I just sat there and was like, just be patient, Adrian, just be patient, Adrian, like, then I'm going to later
you
be
explode.
Like,
yeah.
yeah, I'm either going to be like, look how patient I was.
Right.
And then I'm going to get a big head, and then I'm definitely going to explode.
Yes.
right? Because
yeah.
it doesn't work that way.
Right.
But when we go to him and we say, Lord, I know that you are the giver of these good gifts, and I know that you are the one who
mm-hmm.
activates them inside of me, because like you said, they're already there.
Right.
So
yeah.
just please help me in this
right.
area today. And he does.
Yeah.
And it's so simple, like that even a child can understand this. Like I lead a group in the youth,
mm-hmm.
and last year they were seventh grade girls. And one of the girls was a new believer. And I was asking them at the end of the year, like, what have you learned this year? You know,
right.
like what's been the most impactful to you? New believer. She said, you know, I've learned that when I just don't feel like reading my Bible, or I just don't feel like spending time with God,
mm-hmm.
I can pray and ask him to change my heart and ask him to give me the desire. And then he does.
Mm.
I was like, girl.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, because then who gets the glory
Absolutely.
For that?
Yep.
It's all him. I was like,
yeah.
so yes and amen.
Amen. I love
so
that.
So good.
I love that. And I think it's so important as we're talking about this. Y'all, this unity with God.
Mm-hmm.
One, it is something he desires, something that we desire. It's attainable to have this. But I think it is important for us to talk about if you don't have it, because there are so many people, and I think maybe one of the red flags for people as you're watching this or as you're thinking through this, and if you're like, I really feel like I don't have unity with God, stop and go, okay, red flag. Do I?
Yeah.
Have I been in the church forever and I know all the things and how I'm supposed to behave and what I'm supposed to say and I know all the Jesus answers, but I don't have unity with God?
And that's 100% possible. Like, it happens all the time. All the time.
All the time. All the time. And I think if you are someone that's been in church for a long time or had family that just, you know, assumes that you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it can be real hard to go, hey, I'm not sure.
Right.
You know? And we think about, you know, a 16 or 17 year old, it could be difficult for them. Okay, a 60 year old.
Yeah.
It can be very difficult, but oh my gosh, the joy of having unity is worth any short-term embarrassment or people questioning or even loss of relationships over stuff to have that unity with God. And if you, I think that red flag, if you feel like, I don't ever feel like I actually have joy coming from inside of me. I only have joy because of circumstances.
Right.
Or I don't ever feel like I'm actually kind unless it's fake.
Right.
Because I'm supposed to be kind. Those are the things you need. Go open up scripture. Talk to someone you know that is following the Lord and go, I am struggling with these.
Yeah.
Because it might be that you never actually came into a relationship with the Lord. You've just been doing church. But it also could be that you're just hooked, you know, there's just some wrong theology somewhere to get worked out.
For sure. Well, and you said, you know, it could even mean a temporary embarrassment or something.
Yeah.
And I even think, though, like, that's what we think it will look like, right? Like, if we're in that situation. But I think you would be so surprised if you went to a believing friend who loves the Lord and you shared that truthfully and vulnerably with them. I think
the people
would
be cheering for
so
you.
So surprised.
Yes.
How it's not embarrassing at all.
Right.
It's actually going to be rejoicing.
Yes.
It's actually going to be transformational.
Absolutely.
And you will never be like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Right. Yes.
You know, like,
absolutely.
I mean, I just so encourage, if you're feeling the way Betsy just talked about, I so encourage you to do what she said. Go find a friend who you know is a firm believer in the Lord and who can help you and walk with you. And go to God's word.
Yes.
If you're like, okay, I hear them talking about this relationship with God and knowing his character and all these things, but like, how do I do that? How do I have relationship with God really? Like, how do I grow in my relationship with him? And how do I know him better? His word is the answer.
Yep.
His word is where he has given, it says in his word, that's where he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so if you go to his word, if you put down the self-help book, or if you put down what I love to read, listen, I love to read.
You are a big reader.
Other books. Yeah. I love to read. Like, I even like, you know, I love crazy medical stuff. Like, I think it's fascinating. Yeah. You know, like, those are the things I pick up. I'm reading a book about Alzheimer's right now. Yeah. Like, literally, it's just so interesting to me. But if those are the things we're going to, and we're just trying to fill our minds with information, and we're not going to God's word and seeking his will and seeking truth and understanding his character better, then the way that we see everything in life and the way that we actually respond to everything is going to be different.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be through a biblical lens. And it's so drastically different than the way that the world sees things.
Absolutely.
And you're either in one camp or the other.
Yeah.
You're always either in one camp or the other. If you're like, man, all this election stuff really had me like super stressed and worried and, you know, all the things, like if you were like found yourself in that mental state leading up to it, then you might be seeing things a little bit more worldly than from a biblical worldview, because a biblical perspective is an eternal perspective.
Right.
God lives outside of time, right? And so he is, everything in his word is pointing us to an eternal truth. And it says that he put eternity in our hearts too. And so when we let the things of this life bog us down and really stress us out, we are not living with an eternal perspective. We're only looking a couple feet in front of us, which is honestly like, what's our default? That's our default.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
Like to fixate on the now, to fixate on the present. Cause we're not like God in that respect. We're not outside of time.
Because we feel like we can fix this.
Yes. Yes.
We can't fix this, even though we want to fix that. And so we just fixate on right here and
exactly
what can I do and how can I make it better and all that.
Yes. Yeah. But the more you read his word, the more you know him and grow in relationship with him, and then the more of an eternal perspective you have, because you recognize like, oh, this is not our home.
Right.
Okay. It's going to be okay, no matter what happens.
Absolutely.
It's going to be okay. Yeah. And that's where joy comes from.
Right.
Yes. That's one way. That's one way that
that's
we can
joy.
Have joy no matter what in all circumstances.
Yeah.
Go read Philippians if you want to know about joy in all circumstances.
It's
so good.
So good. Yeah, it's so good. And I think, again, kind of walking into the holidays, the holiday season for a lot of people, they spend more time at church during those few weeks than they do any other time of the year, right? Mm-hmm. And the church has been given such a gift that people will come. And so we have great opportunity to share Jesus with people during these next few weeks. One thing I would say, though, is if you're walking into this holiday season and you don't have unity with God because you haven't accepted him as your savior, do that.
Yes.
And it'll be the best Christmas you've ever, ever had. And you don't have to do that here at Sagemont. God's all over. You can do it wherever you are or whatever church you attend, or just in your house or by yourself.
But you can know that you will have the opportunity if you come show up here any given Sunday, because Pastor Levi is sharing the gospel every single Sunday and people are coming to know the Lord. And
we get to see people walk down and say, I came in headed for death and now I'm headed for eternal life. And y'all, that's come like do let us get to be a part of that with you. We will celebrate it with you. We will help you know your next steps. Baptism, getting connected, getting involved, walking with the Lord, learning what does that even mean? What is Adrienne even talking about when she's talking about scripture in Philippians? What's that? It's okay, whatever stage you're in, we want to help you make those decisions. And man, I mean, y'all, my prayer for people right now is just that no one goes into 2025 without the unity with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, and it's a really big prayer. God likes really big prayers.
Yeah.
And then you get to see how he works and you get to celebrate it.
Right.
And so y'all join me praying that people come to know the Lord and walk into 2025 in great unity with Christ.
Yes. And another part of that too, that we talked about in unity with God was that then those who are in unity with God, part of Jesus's prayer at that same spot in John 17, part of his prayer was, it was the purpose so that others will see and they will know and they will come. So then not only would you come to know the Lord if you hear us talking right now and you want to respond in that way, but then others are going to see the change in your life. Others are going to see the fruit that unity with God bears in your life. And then others are going to come to know him too. And that's a big part of the whole equation too, that, you know, we just get to be a tiny part of. Like, it's God's work. It's his eternal plan.
Yeah.
And we just get to be this little piece. Yeah. And it's beautiful.
And I love that, because I think, well, we know in scripture, you know, Jesus said, go and make disciples. And he didn't say, go invite people to church so Levi can make disciples.
That's true.
Right? Like, it's a huge blessing that we have Pastor Levi, and we know we can say, hey, come in. And we know people are going to hear the gospel.
Right.
But man, as believers, we've been given that charge to go and make disciples. And so, yes, invite people to church, but also talk to your neighbors.
Yes.
And talk to people and share the gospel. And even if it's as you're praying for people to come to know the Lord, also pray, Lord, give me opportunity to get to be a piece in that plan with you. And man, y'all, it's so exciting. If you haven't got to lead somebody to the Lord in a long time, ask the Lord to put someone in your life so you get opportunity, because it is just the best way, because it helps us remember how wonderful it was when we walked through salvation, and then you get to see somebody else. It's just, it literally is the best thing.
Yeah, it really is.
It's truly so fun.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, I think so often people go, well, that's not me, or that's not, no, if you're a believer.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And it can be, you can just work through your relationships that you already have too, and talking to friends. And I had a tutoring student one time that came to me and was just not really even able to pay attention. She was so just down and depressed. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped tutoring. And I was like, can I just pray for you? And can I just tell you about the hope that we have in Jesus? Like this, I could just tell that her soul was just downridden. And so ask the Lord to give you eyes to see those things, because he's the one who gives us sensitive hearts.
That's right.
To what breaks his heart. And he's the one who gives us eyes to see those things too. Mm-hmm. So it can happen in your everyday context.
Absolutely.
It is happening in your everyday context all the time, whether you're recognizing it or not.
Yep.
And so we do, we get busy, right? And then we get distracted and it gets hard.
Yep.
My father-in-law just got back from Mexico on a mission trip, and we were having a conversation about, he was like, it's just so easy to see the spiritual warfare when you're on the mission field because it's what you're there for. You're there to share Jesus.
Right.
And I said, that's something we should pray for, that we would see it more in our current context.
Absolutely.
That yes, absolutely. We should go on mission and we should be doing that role. But then when we're here and we're just in our everyday context, we should pray that the Lord would give us just as much awareness.
That's right. Because we're on mission.
Yes.
Not just when we go, but just everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think that's so, so important in what we're called to do.
Amen.
It's not really optional.
Right.
So.
So there's that.
There's that part that we're like, we gotta actually do the thing. But y'all, if you are someone that's like, I'm walking with the Lord, I have great unity with the Lord, then I think your next step, your next thing to really start asking the Lord for is, okay, who do you want me to share with that doesn't or is struggling in that way? And then if you're someone who's like, I don't have unity with the Lord, then man, ask questions, reach out to the church. If you see Adrian in the hallway, she'll talk to you, I promise.
Absolutely. My kids like to say I yap a lot.
Yapper.
That's the thing.
Listen, I will tell you, whenever we did the retreat at Danbury, I went long on Friday night.
Oh, I did too.
I know, but then, no, literally, I was like, oh, Adrian's tomorrow, I'm good. I was like, I know my company.
I probably beat you.
I was like, I'm just prepping the girls for, we'll probably go a little long.
I got through point one, and it had been 30 minutes. And I looked at the clock, and I was like, sorry, guys. Normally, my class is an hour and a half.
Right.
So I don't know what to tell
y'all. Squishing down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, Adrian and I both would love to chat with you.
Yes, anytime.
Whenever you have time. No, we can do it slow, too. But if you see us, stop, say something. Y'all, the Connection Center on Sunday mornings, if you're like, I'm not walking down in front of, walk into the Connection Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's behind closed doors. There's multiple people in there that will chat with you. There's women for women and men for men and people that'll sit and talk with you about whatever questions that you have. And so know that we want to help be a part of that, however we can come alongside you. And if it's not here at Sagemont, then reach out wherever you are for people that can help you find unity with Jesus this holiday season.
Absolutely.
So super important. And come to Precept.
Please.
In January. It's super fun. We have lots of things coming in January, all our studies
love
and stuff.
To have
so
you.
If you do accept Jesus over the holidays, a great next step is to get plugged into a Bible study and start growing in your knowledge of him. So we want you to get to do that too.
Yes.
But I appreciate you coming.
So fun.
And hanging
Thank
out.
Thank you so much for
it's
having
always
me.
So much fun. You have such good knowledge. I remember, now I don't remember how many years ago it was, but when you were first getting trained to be a teacher in Precept and talking with you about just going, oh my gosh, this is a lot, and this is a heavy responsibility to share God's word with people, and he is using you in such a mighty way, and so you're doing a really, really good job.
Well, all glory to him, and I feel like we got very theological today, so maybe it was great. It was great, but maybe next time we can, throw in some, so what's your favorite Christmas? I was like, I feel like I should stop and ask her, what's your favorite Christmas tradition?
We can talk about that, too. But I love, but this is the thing I love about you and so many people that are walking with the Lord. it isn't a theological conversation or not. Mm-hmm. It's just your it's just what bubbles out
of
you.
It's there, yeah.
And I think that's so beautiful and such a good reminder for all of us to go, y'all, what's bubbling out of us? Mm-hmm. What's bubbling out of us? And yeah, stopping and being aware of mm-hmm. that, those things. Mm-hmm. Look for those. So
love it.
I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for all you do for the church and people and all the things. So.
You too.
Love you bunches. And love y'all, hey, thanks for hanging out today. And like I said, next time on Table Talk, if you're watching in order, which you do not have to do, but if you are, Andrea Parker will be here and we'll be talking about unity with people.
Yay.
Which is a whole different conversation, we will have, especially going into the holiday season and spending time with people you maybe only see once a year. So come back and join us and we'll have that conversation. Have a great rest of your day or evening. We will see you next time on Table Talk.